Open your Bibles with me. Very, very familiar scriptures. Let's go over to the book of John. And we're going to start reading in John 3 and verse 16. It says, of course, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Know that you're a whosoever. Amen. You're a whosoever. Praise God. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." God loved us so much that His greatest expression of love was His offering of Jesus for the sacrifice of our sins. That's how much He loved us. That's the greatest act or expression of God of love toward us. Now, notice here, he says that He sent Him so that we could be saved. But then he goes in and he talks about some condemnation there. And it says that he says that people condemn themselves by not believing. See, I've heard all my life, you know, why would a good God send somebody that's a good person to hell? Well, the truth is that person is doing it to themselves. You see, because God is a good God, because He gave His only Son so that we could go to heaven, the stipulation on that is that you have to believe on that Son. You have to believe that God sent Jesus to this earth, that He died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, and on the third day He rose again. That's what will get you saved. You confess Him as your Lord because you believe that. Okay? And so here in John, he's saying this. He said the reason that people get condemned, the reason people go to hell is because they don't believe in Jesus, the Son of God. You say, well, yeah, but I believe in the Son of God. Have you made Him your Lord? Because if you believe in Jesus, you ought to make Him Lord of your life. Because if not, you're still in that category of being condemned because you've not made Him Lord of your life. And so he says that we do that to ourselves. And he goes on and he says, you know, a lot of them, they love darkness better than light. They'd rather be in the devil's crew, rather do what the devil wants done, than to be over in God's crew and do what God wants done. Is that your Bible say that too? Does your Bible say they love darkness rather than light? Right? John 3:21 says this, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they're wrought in God." In other words, you know, when you love truth, you don't care to come to the light. Amen. Because you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing for God. Right? Come on now. You know, anybody ever, I told Pastorette one time, she gets aggravated at me. She's got one of those mirrors where she can put on her makeup and stuff and it magnifies. You know, and she's got a lamp above it. And so sometimes, you know, I'll be looking in the mirror in the bathroom and I'm thinking, what is that? You know, I can't tell for the light. There's not enough light so I'll go into her mirror and turn on the light and get in that magnification mirror and I go, whoa, you know, there may be a hair stuck somewhere. You know, who knows? What I'm trying to show you there is that light will illuminate if there's a problem. And that's why a lot of people don't want to come to the light, because when you come here, Jesus is light, right? The Word of God's light. So when people come to church, they bring themselves into the light, and then when we get into the light, we see our faults and the things that are going on in our lives. Come on now. And you see, a lot of folks won't come because they don't want to change that. That they'd rather be in the darkness than to come to the light. Right? They love darkness better than light. So that's a little illustration for that. We want to always come to the light. And even if we're not sure, maybe there's something in our life, come to Jesus. Come to the light and ask God to forgive you. It's that simple. You want to get rid of a problem? Ask God to forgive you. There's something not right. Come to the light and reveal it in the light, and so that it can be wrought in God that now it's taken care of. It's done. God has forgiven me. It's in my past, thrown to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again, and I'm walking in the light once again. And you see, the enemy will tell you, oh, you can't do that. You know, people make fun of you. People will talk about you. It don't matter. People are going to talk about you whether you're good or bad. You might as well get right with God and keep yourself right with God, because He's the only one that matters. Right? So He's telling us here that God loved us that much and let us know that He sent His Savior. Now, understand this. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I mean, I don't care if you're listening to Oprah or listening to New Wave or listening to whatever. It don't matter who's telling you. The only way. The Bible's not changed. You can't get to heaven just by living a good life. Amen. You can't get to heaven just by being a good person. A lot of folks think they can. But you can. I'm going to show you something here just in a minute. But the only way, there's no other name given among under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. What the Bible says. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and live for Him. Come on, I'm not saying you can't just come in and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and go right back out in the world doing the things you were doing. I'll kind of prove that to you through the Scriptures here, okay? So we have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to be saved. Now, jump over here with me to Romans 10, and let's look what Paul said. Because he, you know, Paul, even though Paul was born and part Roman, he was still a Jew. Okay? Remember when the soldiers caught him and they were beating him and said, why are you beating me? I'm part of the Roman. He said, I was natural born, you know. I'm part of the Roman crew, and they got afraid because it was against the law for him to beat another Roman, and they let him go. Amen. So here now he's worried about his brethren, the Jews, and here's what he says: Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see that? Paul saying, listen, I'm concerned that my brethren, the Israelites, I'm concerned and I pray for them that they might be saved, because that word zeal, they've got a zeal of God. That word zeal means a heat. They had a heat for God, but the problem was they were trying to establish their own righteousness and not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. See, there are a lot of folks that are doing that today. They believe in God. They even believe in Jesus. But they're trying to justify their lives and say, well, you know, I live a lot better than a lot of those Christians do. Or, you know, if that person's going to heaven, I'll surely get to go. But that's the whole thing, see. You can't look at anybody else. You have to look at your own life. You're responsible for you. If you get to go to heaven, it's because you made a personal decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and made Him your Lord. And you're living for Him now. That's what will get you to heaven. Not what your grandma did, your papa did, your mom did, your dad did, or anybody else did, your spouse did. Don't matter. You have to make the decision for yourself. Amen. So a lot of folks, they just kind of procrastinate and they're waiting and they're what are you waiting on? What is it so good in the world that you'd take a chance on going to hell for? You can establish your own righteousness. It's impossible. Let's read on just a little bit. That's what, you know, Paul said. They being, verse 3 again, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now listen, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh of this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our righteousness comes through the Lord Jesus Christ when we accept him as our Savior. That's what makes you righteous. The Bible teaches us that our personal righteousness, us trying to be righteous without Jesus, that's like filthy rags. But you see, when we made Jesus our Lord and the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us, that's when we became the righteousness of God. Amen. See, under the old law, they would try to do different deeds and try to do different things to try to make themselves righteous. Now we come into righteousness, and righteousness simply means right standing with God. You get in right standing with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, jump over here with me. And of course, it says, you know, that we've got to believe and we've got to confess, right? We've got to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him. That He's our Lord. Believe in our heart, right? Okay. Now jump over here with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and let's look what happens. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man's in the kingdom of God, any man's saved, anybody that's made Jesus Christ their Lord, right? If any man be in Christ, man or woman, he's talking about, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice that. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. In other words, if I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, I become a new creature, a new creation, something that's never been before. And therefore, I'm not going to act like I used to act now. Amen. I'm not going to do the deeds of darkness that I used to do before. Come on, if I've really got Jesus in my heart, I'm not going to act like the world. Amen. You see, I'm a new creature now. I've been made new by the Holy Spirit. It goes in verse 18 and says that all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. He took upon himself our sin and took it to the cross, paid the price for us so that we could live righteous now, be in right standing with God. Let me just give that to you out of the New Living Testament. I like it from verse 17. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Isn't that awesome? We are the righteousness of God, and now we're to walk accordingly. Folks, we are to be the ambassadors for the Lord. He says he's made us ambassadors. Well, an ambassador is somebody that speaks for another. In other words, they represent another person, maybe a prince, maybe a king. You and I are ambassadors for Christ. What's that mean? That means anything that the ambassador does is a reflection on the prince or king that they represent. Right? Come on. So when they do things, if an ambassador out here in the natural, if they're representing a country or whatever, whatever they do is a reflection on their country. If it's wrong or if it's right, you know, either, no matter what, it's a reflection back. You and I, our walk out in the world, it's a reflection on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's how we live our lives is a reflection on God. Well, if that's what it's, that's how a Christian acts, right? So we have to make sure that we are representing God. Yeah, but what about this? What, it don't matter about any. Listen, I've been talked about and lied on since we started this church. So it don't matter what any other people say or what they think. What matters is Him. You know, you got to walk out the truth because that's where the light's at. You know, and Stephanie read that a few minutes ago. Don't worry about revenge or anything. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. I trust, we sung the song, I trust in God, my Savior. He'll never fail. Amen. Some of you kind of just sitting there swaying, but you wouldn't get in the message. You trust in God and you'll never fail. And when you seek the Lord, He will answer. Why? Because when you're walking in your righteousness before God and representing Him, He's right there listening for you. Did you hear me? When you pray, He answers. Amen. You see, but you've got to understand that this is us walking out the righteousness that God has given us. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. So now we walk out that righteousness. We keep ourselves in the place to where there's not something that can be said about us that's truth. And it's right. Right? We keep ourselves sheltered in God. Right? Come on. So you got to learn how to walk in this thing and not worry about anything else. You just walk out through your righteousness because Jesus Christ went to the cross so that we could become righteous. Now, just because we're righteous, just because we're saved, just because Jesus is our Lord, does not mean that it's going to be easy. Come on, it doesn't say in the Word anywhere. You ever read Paul's account of his life? Come on. Fought with beasts in Ephesus. Shipwrecked several times. You know, beaten with rods, beaten with whips. You know, I mean, you read his pedigree, you know, you think Paul should have, I mean, you'd think if you're Paul, you just quit. He never did. You know, I mean, Paul went through all that and he still said, I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. You know, I've kept the course and all. You know, he said, now I know my reward's waiting on me. He didn't run. He didn't flee, even though they hated him, even though they wanted to kill him. Anybody see that in the Word? You stay with God. God will take care of you. Amen. So we will have some problems. Go over here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I thought, you know, if anybody could tell us about things that'll go on, it'd be Jesus, right? So you go to Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 10 here. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount there. Let me get to the right place. There's 5, verse 10. I'm in the wrong place still, aren't I? Mark chapter 5, verse 10. Matthew. That's why I messed up. Well, my paper notes say Matthew. I just put my marker in at Mark. Sorry. Matthew 5 and 10. Thank you, guys. Look at this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you for your righteousness, because you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Right? You see that? Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." See that? "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I mean, Jesus is here telling us, you know, you're going to get persecuted for living for me. Amen. That you're going to get persecuted because of it. But notice, blessings come because of persecutions. Isn't that what he says? They're going to persecute, but you're blessed of God just the same. And you can't ever forget that. See, I'd rather be blessed of God and have God on my side as anybody else. I love my family, but they could all go against me, but I still want God on my side. Amen. You ought to be that place too. Then he goes on down there and he talks about you and I. He says that we're salt to the world. We're what gives the world flavor. Okay? Salt flavors, right? But salt cures too. You know, a lot of you probably don't know anything about it. Some of us do because we're older, and I never did see a whole lot of it because it was just more before my time. But for, you know, for a long time, folks, when they killed like a hog or something like that, they packed them down in salt. They would cut it up and, you know, part it out. You know, now we put them in deep freeze, right? You know, but back then, you know, that was kind of a rarity for somebody to have a refrigerator deep freeze, something like that. So they would just take the meat and they would salt it down, and they'd go out, they'd have a smokehouse somewhere, and they'd hang it from the roof in that smokehouse. And so whenever they wanted some ham for breakfast, they'd go out there with a knife and slice them all some pieces of ham and fry it up in the morning with their eggs and all that. You know, that's how they cured the meat, was through that salt. So Jesus says, you and I, we're salt. Right? I don't like French fries without salt. Do you? I'd rather have salt. I mean, I can eat them. I can eat anything. You look at me and tell that, you know. But I like salt on my French fries. Now, I'm not... Pastor Ed is extra salt. You know, Tim Hall, he's that way too. He likes it salted down, real salty. I just want enough salt to work flavor. You know. And that's what you and I should be to this world, is flavor. But at the same time, now, when you get ready to cure something, there's got to be a lot of salt. I mean, they would rub that down, pour that on there, and I mean, they were getting it to soak in. What am I saying? Well, I'm saying you can be a place where you can just, you know, smile at people, be nice to people, and show them the love of God. Or you can get real salty and lay hands on them and say, "Be healed in the name of Jesus," because you believe the Word of God. Yes. Amen. So he says you are to be salt to the world, but he also says then you are to be light to the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid. Come on now. A church set on a hill can't be hid. There's light shining from it. And the devil hates light. But here's the thing the Bible says. Darkness can't comprehend the light. In other words, darkness can't hinder the light. So we just keep being light. We keep following God. We keep being examples that people can look at our lives and see that we're living for Jesus. Come on now. I understand that there are folks in the church that are kind of lewd people. Right? Come on, not everybody that says they're saved is saved. Right? And so people usually try to take things like that. But here's the thing. We are going to keep ourselves in the love of God, like the Word of God says, and stay in the light. Amen. We're going to stay in the light with God.
You know, here's the thing about it. When you're in God, then God's got your back. Amen. But it doesn't matter. There's still going to be persecutions, and you have to continue to be salt and light. Amen. Well, let me show you something over here in 1 Timothy, what Timothy told Paul, if I mark my Bible right this time. In chapter 6, verse 12. Listen to, now, Timothy's a pastor. Paul's instructing him here. And in verse 12, here's what he says. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Notice that. You've got to stay in the words to keep doing what the word says. But notice the next thing he says. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Lay hold on eternal life. What's he saying? He's saying get a hold of it and don't let go. Now, you can go to church somewhere if you want to, and they'll tell you that don't matter what you do, you're all right. This ain't one of them. I see too many scriptures like this one right here. Why would I have to lay hold on to something that I've got forever? I wouldn't have to hold on to that because it's already, you know, right? I don't want to get into that much. But I'm just saying that he here says, lay hold on to eternal life. Okay? Then he goes on and he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. See that? You keep hold of this. Now, let me read verses 12 through 14 here for you from the Message. Okay? It says, run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. I'm charging you before the life-giving God and before Christ, who took his stand before Pontius Pilate and didn't give an inch. Keep this command to the letter and don't slack off. Our Master Jesus Christ is on his way. That's good, isn't it? We just keep it to the letter. Just stay with the word, because Jesus is on his way. Come on now. You say, well, when? I don't know when, but it don't matter. We just keep on keeping on till Jesus does come. We may leave this earth before he comes, but if we leave this earth, we know where we're going. See, that's the peace. I mean, you know, I was talking with Brother Chris this morning how they have that comfort. They have that comfort. He lost his mom yesterday, and he's here today because he knows who his God is. You know, a lot of folks, and understandably, but when you know who God is, and he knows his mother's in heaven, and knows she's going, when he gets there, he'll see her. There's a peace about that people can't understand. They think, you know, you ought to be losing it. You ought to be, no. She's already made it to where we're going to go to. Okay? And so we have that peace with God, and we have to understand that even our lives, you know, my family don't, if something happens to me, my family don't have to worry. They know I'm going to be with Jesus. What about your family? What do they know? What could they say? The hardest thing I ever have to do as a preacher is preach somebody's funeral that died lost. That died without accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because here's the thing, church. Hell is real. Preachers ain't talking about it no more. You know, in this New Age stuff and all the, you know, the all the fancy stuff and all the watered down stuff and all the seeker friendly. They don't talk about hell any because that bothers people. Well, I would rather bother you now while you're alive than for me later to be bothered because I know you went to hell. I would. So I'm going to tell you right now that hell is real. It is real. There are churches that are saying hell's not even real. My Bible tells me that it's real. They might be reading a different Bible than me, but And I preach out of the King James for those that are King James sticklers, you know. We know it's not the only translation, but I like it. I preach out of it. It's okay. But hell is real. It's not a place that you go to for the weekend and decide, you know, I don't like it here. I think I'll go back. Right? And I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just trying to help you get a picture of this. A lot of people, I'll give you a little example of kind of thing. A lot of times people want a pet. Right? And, oh, I think I want me a dog. I want me a dog. You know, I'm going to use Stephanie for a good excuse for that. Austin fought it tooth and toenail. No, we're not getting a dog. No, we're not getting a dog. No, we're not getting a dog. Finally, one of Stephanie's friends says, I've got some pups here, and they're just beautiful. And I'll give you a dog. I've got a male dog. I'll give you. Okay. It's a pretty little shepherd-a-doodle. Okay. Prettiest little thing. Pretty little dog. You know, cute. It's a shepherd-a-doodle. It's a cross between a shepherd and a poodle. And I'm not talking about a little miniature poodle either. The big poodles. Okay? And so, you know, not too bad. They got it trained around and stuff. And, you know, and now, you know, the little puppy is a year old. He stands about that tall. And when he comes jumping at you and makes a lunge and he's got both feet and hits you in the chest, he'll knock you back a step or two. And he's in their house. Now, I love him. I mean, I love to play with him. He loves me. He'll come across and visit me and whatever, but I don't want him in my house. You know, and I know Stephanie at this point doesn't want him in the house. Right now, if Lillian would give him up, I'm sure they'd find somebody a good home for him. But, you know, dogs live 15, 16, 18 years. Lillian will probably be gone and married, and Stephanie will still have a dog. Right? She got something she didn't want. And we're laughing about this, but my point in this is, hell ain't that way. You can't just give it away because you don't like it. Hell's for an eternity. Now, here's the good news. Heaven is also real. Heaven is real. Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you that where I am, you can come also. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. But I'm preparing a place for you that you can come. Jesus has prepared a place for us, church. Everyone that's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ has a place. And you know what I believe? This is just me. Now, I don't have scripture for this, but he said it in a way. Of course, he's talking, you know, to some church folks there. But I really believe that Jesus has prepared a way for every person. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And whether you choose to go to the place he's prepared for you, or you choose to go to the place that's been prepared for the devil and his angels, it's on you. You can get mad at God, and a lot of folks do, but you can't. It's not His fault. He's given you and I free will, and He's given us freedom of choice. We choose. That's why Joshua looked at his people and he said, "You choose this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Today, my prayer is that you will choose today. You that are watching, you choose today to serve the Lord and make sure that heaven's going to be your home. Will you stand with me? Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that your word is true and settled. Father, thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to forgive us of our sins so that we could come to heaven. And you made us a place, a special place in heaven for us. I ask now, Father God, Lord, that you just deal with every heart, Father, for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, for those maybe that backed off and stepped away. I pray, Father God, that today your Holy Spirit will just wrap them in your love. And I pray today is the day that they'll decide, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and make Jesus my Lord. I'm just going to go ahead and come back to God because I know that's where I need to be. Thank you for that, Father. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.